Jacob for singing. Mark chapter 4, and I want to just give you a thought. We'll start in verse number 26, Mark chapter 4, and verse number 26. And let me just say again, thank you for being here this morning. I realize that the even if you mention rain or storms in the south, that is not the friend to a Baptist church. Amen? And there's some folks are, and again, I get it. And sometimes they can be, hindrance, especially if you drive a long ways or if you, scared of stuff like that. That's fine. I'm frightened of storms, I'll be really honest. But the way I look at it is I'd rather be at the church house if anything were to ever happen. And but we're very thankful God has us, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us here. Look at verse number 26, Mark chapter 4. The Bible says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. The earth bringeth forth the fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn of the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out of the great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Jesus again is using some parables here, like he did earlier. We dealt last week with the first parable, if you will, the parable of the sower. Probably one of the most popular parables there is. Maybe not the popular, but one that Jesus, because it was the first, at least in the Gospel of Mark, he said, if you can't understand this, then you can't understand the rest of the parables. And he was dealing with the four soils, and we dealt with those soils last week and dealt with the heart, dealt with man, dealt with the Word of God and the sower. Again, Jesus, which I believe when he's using these parables, he's taken an earthly story and given it a heavenly meaning. He's always preached about the kingdom of God and the sowing the seed and things that are sown in the good ground will always spring up. And we always know. So I believe when Jesus was teaching these parables, I believe he was actually maybe pointing at a stalk of corn. Maybe he was holding a little grain of the mustard seed. Maybe he's looking at a field over there and saying, you see that field over there? And do you see the type of soil that has? I mean, Jesus painted a picture. Can you imagine hearing him teach and preach? Can you imagine hearing the Son of God teach? And I've heard some preachers say, using illustrations, we should just stick to what the Bible says. But Jesus used illustrations. Of course, they were called parables. He would use a story, but he would get you. He'd go right to your heart. And that's what he does here in this parable of the kingdom and the parable of the mustard seed and those things. And they're very, very good truths here. But the Lord had me down in verse number 35, or 34 rather. It says in verse 34, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. So then he pulls the disciples away. He expounds all things. Can you imagine being a disciple? Can you imagine what he told them there? How he expounded the truth, and he emphasized some things. And man, I can only imagine what Jesus taught them. I mean, you can just sit there in your mind, you're thinking, man, what would it have been like to be with the Son of God as he's teaching and then explaining things? And then it would be like us pulling some of these people away, maybe some of our leaders, and we say, hey, I told this to the church, but guys, I want y'all to come over here because this is why I did it. This is why I taught them that, and I want y'all to understand that. But then we go on. Look at verse 35. And the same day, so I can imagine as soon as he's done with that little part with his leaders meeting, the 12 disciples, he says, okay, boys, the same day, all right, I got something else. Look at it. And when the even was come, the evening, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. He said, so, boys, listen. He said, men, I know I just taught you this. I know we're busy. I know we just came out of a service. He was teaching. And then he said, I know you've been here. It's probably long. The evening has come. Let's go to the other side. And he's by the Sea of Galilee. We've been right there just 3 weeks ago. I stood where this possibly happened. He said, let's go over the other side. And then here's what happens. And verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done in our hearts. We thank you, God, that you are God. We thank you, Lord, that you speak peace to lives, that you save souls, that you make those that are sick whole. You still are in the healing business today. You're still saving sinners. You're still answering prayers. And God, I pray through this message today that they will see that, Lord, even in the midst of the storm, you're still God. And we thank you, Lord, for what you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here they are in the middle of the sea. He pushed away, and the Bible says there's other little ships. I don't really know where those other little ships are, how far they are from the vessel that these disciples fish from, and that this was their fisherman boat. We saw some of those fisherman boats. I don't know if they were exactly like that back in the Bible day, but they're wooden boats. And these, I don't know how big this boat was, but I'm thinking it wasn't very big at all. But it did have a hinder part. It had maybe a little section in the bottom where the disciples, when they fished all night, maybe they got a little tired, a little weary, and they would fish literally at nighttime on the sea, and they would go in there sometimes, or maybe in the mid-morning or early morning hours, and sleep in the hinder part of the ship. Well, we see Jesus. He's tired. And by the way, Mark kind of peeks into the life of Jesus and shows us the humanity of Christ. Y'all understand that Jesus got weary. I mean, listen, I know what it's like to preach 3 and 4 times in a day, like normal on Sunday. I know what it's like, what I feel like on Sunday night when I go home. I don't want to talk to nobody except my wife and kids. And it's tough. Man, you've preached, you've poured your heart out. You are physically exhausted. You're emotionally exhausted. You're just worn out. You're spiritually exhausted yourself. And can you imagine Jesus pouring into the multitudes, what it said? And then he takes time for his leaders and he pulls them over here and he says, now guys, I'm going to teach you a little bit. And then he says, now let's go to the other side. I'm going to rest a little while. I'm just going to go in the hinder part. I'm going to rest a little while. So I believe the disciples are in the ship and everything's good. Hey, I've been on that sea. It is nestled between mountains. It is, everything around it, it's beautiful. It's 168 feet below sea level. So it's down on the very bottom. I mean, it's nestled down in the valley. And the Sea of Galilee is 150 feet deep. So it's 13 miles long. It's 7 miles wide. It's a pretty big sea. But when a storm comes over the mountain, it can stir those waters up rather quickly. And that thing could have been very glassy and very calm, and it could have been very serene. But at the time, now listen to me, at the time, the storm blew up. Jesus is in the hinder part of the ship. The disciples are out there, and there's a storm comes up. I want you to see this. We see in verse 37, look at what happens in Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I want you to notice the power of the storm. The power of the storm. Now stay with me. Notice its suddenness. Notice in verse 37 what it says, and there arose a great storm of wind. Notice the suddenness. Hey, they're all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a great storm of wind. Hey, storms are very common in this area. It's very, very common for a storm just to blow out of nowhere. And this storm comes out. You ever been there before? You ever been where everything was going really good and all of a sudden a storm comes out of nowhere. You know what? A storm can come out of maybe a doctor's visit. Maybe a telephone call. Somebody calls you and says, "Hey, man, things are going good." You ever been there before? You ever been there when someone's, you said, "Preacher, man, everything seemed to be going so good," and all of a sudden I go to the doctor or my boss calls me in or whatever, and you, man, this came out of nowhere. I've got a preacher friend, his family rather, down in the South Carolina-Georgia border, down in that area. He pastored down there. And he went in for a doctor's visit. He's got four small children, pastoring a church, doing a great job. About 6 months ago, 5 months ago, he goes in for a routine doctor's visit, started feeling bad, started running low on energy. I'm talking about in his 30s. Goes down and visits, and the doctor says, "You're eat up with cancer. And there's absolutely nothing that we can do." They put him through some chemo and radiation, didn't do anything. He died 2 weeks ago. Left four children. You pray for Nicole. Her name's Nicole Adams. You pray for her. Listen. Terrible thing. Hey, just 6 months ago, he was pastoring a thriving church. He was pastoring a church, a young man, younger than I. He's in four small children, and now his wife's alone. Now she's raising four children. You say, "Preacher, where did that come from?" A sudden strong wind. Let me tell you, you may not take this message serious today, but you're going to need it someday. You may think, "Oh, he's preaching on storms. Everything right now, sunshine." How quick can that pass? How quick can that pass? One day you're doing well. Brother Lee, everything's feeling well. Hey, your wife's doing good. Man, you're enjoying each other. And man, we've been married. And man, happily married. We're doing well. And one day they're gone. How soon things matter. There arose a great storm of wind. That's exactly the way life is. Now notice the next phrase. Please keep your Bible open. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. Now notice this. We see the suddenness of the storm, but we see its severity. Notice what that little phrase is in verse number 37. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." So that it was now full. We see the severity. Hey, let me tell you right now. This was not just some storm. Can you get the picture? These disciples, most of them were fishermen before they were disciples. Don't you think they had seen storms before? Don't you think that these disciples had seen a storm or two on their journey across the Sea of Galilee? Don't you think they knew a little bit about a storm? Why was it this storm was the one that scared them for their life? I'll tell you why. It was a severe storm. It was terrible. The Bible says that now the ship, notice what that little phrase is, the ship was now what? Full. Full of water. It was full of fear. It was full. I mean, these disciples are hanging on for dear life. Waves crashing, wind, lightning and storm. And listen, it could have been hailing on that. And you say, "Preacher, it was severe. It was terrible." And they're hanging on for dear life. You say, "Well, what kind of storms may... Listen, all these storms that we deal with, it may not be physically a storm in your life, but it could be these storms that I'm going to talk about. It could be the storm of suffering. The storm of suffering. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people today that are truly suffering. There's people today that are suffering emotionally. They're suffering in depression. They're suffering spiritually. Hey, there's some of you suffering physically. You know what a storm can do when you're suffering? A storm, it can blow into your life and devastate you. Heartache and turmoil. One problem will arise after another problem, and it will bury you under the blizzard of affliction. Hey, there's also the storm of sorrow. Sorrow. There's some of you in here today, you're full of sorrow. Listen, there's some of you in here today that someone has walked out on you. Someone's just left. They were there, and now they're not. There's some of you in here today that are grieving. Maybe you had a spouse pass away. You know what? That's a storm. That's a storm. Hey, some of you may have had a child pass away. It's a storm. preacher, everything was doing good. And now this. I cannot tell you how many times that conversation is made. Preacher, I just thought everything was okay. Storms. The storm of sorrow. The storm of suffering. How about the storm of sin? Starts out as a calm breeze, right? Starts out as just a nice, serene little ride across the sea. But all of a sudden, that storm of sin comes up. Man, and you know what? Some of the storms we do, we bring on ourselves, right? Yeah. Oh, preacher, I'm paying for what I know, but it's still a storm. Maybe a self-inflicted storm, but it's still a storm. Can I tell you? Listen, no matter what kind of storm it is, pay attention. No matter what kind of storm it is, it can be severe. It can bury you. We see the severity of this storm. Hey, we see its source. Here, look at verse number 39. Here's what I believe about Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. Some people may not believe this, but here's what I believe. Notice verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I believe some people believe this was just a natural storm that blew up, and it was just a natural storm. Others believe that God could have sent the storm. He could do that. I believe this storm came from Satan. The wording in verse number 39 kind of reminds me of that because he says, be still. It's the same word as used in Mark chapter 1, verse 25 hold thy peace. Be still. Hold thy peace. If you go over to Mark chapter 1, we've covered that, but Jesus rebuked him saying, hold thy peace and come out of him when he's casting out a devil. Hold thy peace. Be still. Hold thy peace. And it's another word which means to muzzle. Here's what I believe. I believe Jesus was saying, peace, be still, storm, I'm going to muzzle you. Satan, I'm going to muzzle. You say, why do you believe it was Satan? Because Jesus was asleep. I personally believe Jesus was asleep, and I believe Satan took advantage in trying to kill Jesus and kill the disciples. Now, some may say, preacher, I just believe this was a natural storm. Natural storms occurred a lot. I believe this was in severity. This was something really bad. I believe that God allowed this storm to happen for a reason. God allows everything to happen. And Satan puts a storm out there, I believe, to kill Jesus and to kill the disciples. Satan hated Jesus. He hates the disciples. He hates those followers of Christ. So that's it. So we see the source. Sometimes the storms are our own fault. We realize that. Sometimes God sends the storms. And sometimes Satan is allowed to send the storm. I'm not sure which of these three are accurate in this particular situation. But I know this. It was a severe storm. We see that. Number two, I want you to notice this. Look at verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. The Bible says there, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now skip down to verse number 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? We see not only in this story the power of the storm, but we see the problem of the storm. Because the problem of the storm was this. The greatest storm that night was not in the Sea of Galilee. The greatest storm was in the hearts of the disciples. Oh yeah. Folks, I hate to burst your bubble, but we're going to deal with the heart again today. Because that's what Jesus went after. The storm was raging on the outside, but the storm was really raging on the inside. You say, what do you mean by that, the problem of the storm? Well, I want to show you. These disciples began to doubt some things when the storm came. Here's the message. They started doubting some things. Oh, it was a physical storm, no doubt. But I believe it was a spiritual storm. Because they started doubting some things. What did they doubt? Well, look at verse number 35 again. In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. Now notice this. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, notice what they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Notice that little phrase in there. Carest thou not? They doubted his goodness. They looked at Jesus, listen to me, they looked at Jesus and they said, don't you care? Don't you care? Have y'all ever been there before? Don't look at me with that. Some of you's like, no, I ain't never been there. Are you saved? Lord, I've been there. I'll be really transparent with you right now. I've been there. When something comes in my life and I look at God and I say, don't you care about this problem? Don't you care? We're doubting the goodness of God. That's what happened in this storm. When oh, yeah, preacher, I always know that God cares. Then get in the storm. Let a good storm come brewing up in your life. And your friend walks out. And you look around and you can't find anybody. You call somebody and it just goes to the voicemail. God, don't you even care? That's what the disciples did. They go down there and the storm of the life is brewed up. And they walk into the hinder part of the ship and they say, look at him. He's asleep. He don't even care about our situation. They're doubting the goodness of God. Let me just say this. Before we get too hard on these men, though, perhaps we should consider our own hearts. Hey, I've heard some preachers get pretty upset at these guys and kind of give them a hard time about that. Oh, they shouldn't have doubted God and they shouldn't ask if He cared. Hey, let me tell you, you and I, we do it all the time. We doubt God's goodness. The second thing is they doubted His grace. Notice in that same verse, verse 38, and He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They not only doubted the goodness of God, but they doubted the grace of God. You say, what do you mean? Well, remember, it was Jesus that sent them out in the sea. Jesus was the one that put them out there. He didn't just save you to abandon you. He said, let's go to the... Am I in a Presbyterian church this morning? Dear Lord, that's the deadest crowd. I've preached in a long time. Y'all wake up, and if anybody in here is tired, I am. I'm tired, man. We got a crew in here that's tired. Can I tell you though? Listen. I'm trying to get something to you. You're going to miss it. Dear God, you don't want to sleep in a storm? Listen to this. Because you're going to need it one day. You're going to need it. I'm telling you're going to need it. They doubted the grace of God. If God will save you, God will save anybody. And if He'll save you, listen, He's not going to save you to say, okay, you're on your own now. Teaching kids to ride a bicycle. That's how we do it. We get them on there and they ride around in their training wheels a little bit. And training wheels are terrible. Who wants to ride around a training wheel? So what daddy does is he goes over there and takes the training wheels off. And then pushes them down the road. Down a hill. And you know what? Sometimes it ends not good. I remember teaching Jake, I believe it was. Jake was wanting to ride a bike, and the bike was too big for him. But I'm like, son, it's okay. When you fall, just get back up, because the first couple times hurt the most. Oh, that's dangerous. I know. But he's riding a bike. Jesus don't do you that way. He don't just say, okay, go on, and you fall, and you're like, well, I wish you would have helped me. You'll figure it out. That's what daddy does. But I'm thankful that Jesus don't do that. He's there. You know what Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. By the way, no matter how you look at that verse, you can read it backwards, He's still with you. He's not going to leave you. Hey, He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You say, well, I'm in this hole. I'm in this dark valley that I'm going through. Hey, there's somebody with you. His name is Jesus. He was there in the storm. He was there the whole time. Oh, He might have been asleep a little bit. Hey, but they should have rested in the fact that He's not weary. He's not afraid. He's never scared. Hey, they should have said, you know what? He's all right. Hey, guess what? You're going to be all right too. If you got Jesus. Hey, can I tell you, they doubted His grace, but that ain't all they doubted. They doubted His guarantee. Notice, go back to verse 35. Here's what He said. And the same day when the even come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let us pass over. They forgot what Jesus said. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. But right in the middle of the storm, was He not caring? Was He asleep? Don't He care? I mean, we're going to die. No, because just a few minutes ago, He told you that you're going to be all right. Just a few minutes ago, hey, you know what? We sing all the time, I'm on the winning side. Hey, can I tell you, no matter how life ends, no matter how things are, no matter how bleak things are in your life right now, I'm on the winning side. Hey, the sun's coming up in the morning. Hey, things are going to be all right. Hey, you say, why? Because of who's with us? The guarantee. All these promises in the Word of God, all of them, are true. They doubted the guarantee. They doubted the guarantees. Hey, I'm moving on and I'm almost done. Brother Jacob, you come. We see the purpose of the storm. Now listen to me. The purpose of the storm. Now here it is. Don't miss it. Here's the purpose of the storm. Look at verse 39. Here's what it's all about. And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? We see the purpose of the storm. We see a problem. We also see that there was some peril. There was a problem of the storm. There was the power of the storm. But now we see the purpose. See, church, listen to me. If you've missed thus far, I want you to stay with me. God has a purpose for every situation. Every storm. Let me just say this. Some of you that's going through terrible time after terrible time. After terrible time. Some of you, listen, God bless you, I love you, but every time I see you, it's bad news. I love you to death. But it's like, there's a purpose. I'm not saying that it's all, but sometimes God's trying to get your attention. God will send a storm back to say, hey, you know, man, I'm just trying to get, boy, listen, somebody, I believe it was Justin Hamm this morning, he was in the 8:30 service, and he said, preacher, God used a storm to bring me to salvation. He's got liver failure. He's had a liver transplant. He said, I've been sick. I'm only limited to what I can do. He said, but God used that in my life to bring me back to bring me to Him in salvation. He quoted something to me that spoke to his heart. Listen, why is it that you can't see what God's trying to do? There's a purpose. There's a purpose. There was a purpose for the disciples. This storm was not for Jesus. The storm was for the disciples. So I want you to get this. Please don't miss this. We see the purpose because in this, the disciples went to college and they discovered some things about our Savior. They discovered. Somehow in Mark chapter 1, they missed it. Listen to me. They missed it. Mark chapter 2, Jesus is casting devils out. He's healing people. He's raising people. He's doing all these things. And the disciples are like, man, this is great. But they still didn't. They must have been Baptists. They didn't, I don't know, it just didn't catch on. They're like, huh, I'm scared. He just healed this man over here and just healed him of leprosy and healed this crippled man and cast devils out of him. And he says he's the Son of God. But this storm, I just think it's too big for God. They discovered some things. You say, preacher, what did they discover? They discovered His power. They discovered His power because this storm was so terrifying that these men, hey, listen, they were scared to death, but this storm posed no problem for our Savior. He just said, peace, be still. I rebuke you. I muzzle you. Hey, Satan, hey, if that's you, buddy, hey, one day I'm going to bind you in hell and cast you into hell forever. Hey, there's nobody that's a match for our Savior. He is powerful. Hey, we see that they discovered His power. They discovered His promises. Because Jesus said, and look at Mark chapter 5. This blessed me last night. Look at this. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. They discovered the promises. You know what? They made it to the other side. He said that they were going to the other side. And Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and they made it to the other side. Every promise in the book is true. We serve a God who cannot lie. The Bible says it's impossible for Him to lie. If God could lie, He would not be God. We need to stop doubting God and start trusting the promises of God. Man, discover the power of God. Discover the promises of God. Hey, discover the presence of God. They discovered the presence. You say, preacher, what do you mean by the presence of God? Hey, can I show you? Look at verse number 36. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. Now notice this. And there was also with Him other little ships. So there was other little ships in the midst of the sea, but Jesus was only in one of them. The Bible doesn't say anything else about these other little ships, but I know one that got safely to the other side. They discovered the presence of God. Let me just say this. One of those ships had Jesus in it, and if you're going to make it through the storms of life, you're going to have to discover how to get in the presence of God. Is that not good? Man, that's not good. That's great. There's some of you that's trying to paddle your way through storms, and you're in those other little ships, and you're like, I'm trying, I'm toiling, I'm rowing, like those disciples. I'm fighting against the storm. And Jesus is over there saying, hey, we got it pretty good over here. Peace, be still. Hey, the storm. Hey, I think my ship's about to go down. You need to get in Jesus' ship. There's some of you trying to make it to heaven in another ship instead of the ship of Zion. You're trying to make it to heaven rowing on your own. But the only ship that'll take you to heaven is the ship that of the blood of Jesus Christ. By the way, I believe these other ships were probably just like this ship. The only difference was Jesus. Isn't that good? Man, that's good. The last thing is this, the discovery about the purpose. Here's what I want to give you. They discovered about the purpose. They discovered about the peace. But then they discovered about the person. Notice what they say at the end, and this is the best part. Look at verse chapter 4 and verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner, what sort, what kind of man is this? What kind of person is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Here's what the whole purpose of the storm was. To point them to Jesus. And ask the question, listen, church, it's time that we look at Jesus and say, what manner of man is this? Listen, I wish that I could paint it to you more clear. All I am is a Bible preacher. Literally, that's all I am. There's nothing fancy. There's nothing spectacular other than opening up the Bible and showing you that every problem that you have, every storm has a purpose. And the purpose is this, that you discover who Jesus is. That you discover who He is. I don't know why I'm going through this. I do. To discover who Jesus is. What manner of man? Boy, I got hung up on that last night. Then this morning in the 8:30 service, I just started thinking about, man, boy, Jesus, what manner of man is this? What ship are you in this morning? What storm are you going through? Hey, are you trying to make it to heaven on your own? Your marriage falling apart? Is there something in your life falling apart? Can I ask you this? Have you gave it to Jesus? Have you went to the one, the master of the sea? The one that created the oceans and the... Have you given it to Him? Hey, I want you today to say, what manner of man is this, preacher? He spoke peace in my storm.